Okay, I had two different titles, and Teresa says, nah, no. So today's title was, is going to be called, and it was. It is called Forget, Focus, Function 2019. As we go into the new year, you know, let's start it with a good attitude, okay? A positive outlook for, you know, looking for the exciting things that are going to happen. Yeah, exciting, looking forward to it. And let me start. Here's a story. It's about a happy little boy who went out into the field wearing his baseball cap. And in one hand, he carried a baseball. And in the other, his trusty bat. His face bore a look of tremendous confidence. Cocking his bat, he tossed the ball into the air, and as he did, he said, I am the greatest batter in the world. Then he swung and missed. He said, strike one. He picked up the ball, and he examined it. He threw it up in the air again, and as he swung, he repeated, I am the greatest batter in the world. Once again, he missed. Strike two, he said. This time he stopped to examine his bat. You ever see them professional baseball players? They miss? Okay. They hit the bat. It wasn't their fault. There was something wrong with that bat. Well, anyhow, this, you know, that's all I could think of was these grown men who play the game. Well, anyhow, this little guy, he examines his bat. He said, So he grabbed the ball again, adjusted his hat, got his bat ready, threw that ball up in the air. And again, he said, I am the greatest batter in the world. And he swung with all his might, brother, all his might. And he missed it. Three times. Now, most boys would have been discouraged by that. But this little guy, he said, wow, I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. Good attitude. That's what he had. He had a good attitude. Well, today is the first Sunday of 2019. And as we look back over the last 12 years, I'm not sure whether most of us would consider ourselves to be pitchers or batters. One thing is for sure, though, we have struck out from time to time. So I guess it's good that we can have a fresh start, 2019. So as we look to the next 12 months, some people might be eagerly looking forward to each day and what it will bring. Now, others might be filled with anxiety, worried what this year will bring. It shouldn't be. Should be rejoicing. Like the little boy with his baseball bat, it was his attitude, how he looked at it. Our attitude will make all the difference in this coming year. How we react to its events will largely determine if this year is a year of victory or a year of defeat. I turn to Philippians. Philippians chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 12 through 16. The Apostle Paul was never one to let circumstances conquer him. Was he, brother? Not at all. Rather, with the help of God, he was determined always to win the victor's crown. Okay, you're there? This is the NLT version. I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things, or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus first possessed me. No, brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on the one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. Let all who are spiritually mature agree on these things. If you disagree on some point, I believe God will make it plain to you. But we must hold on to the progress we have made. Now, Paul's attitude, it shines through here with his words. So you can actually see his personality, how it really comes through here in the scriptures. See, and Paul here, he lays out some principles concerning our attitude that we can carry with us into the new year. Okay? The first, forgetting your past. Paul said, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. God has given us all the ability to remember. However, our memories, they can be your friend or they can be your foe. Paul had a dreadful past, and it could have easily haunted him for the rest of his life if he allowed it. See, it was a choice he made. We have a choice. He persecuted the church. He used his authority to kill Christians. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15, Paul wrote this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief." By his own admission, he said, "I am the chief of the sinners. I am that one." He could have walked around all of his life with this tremendous burden of guilt, and it would have crippled him. And he would have never become the great apostle and missionary that for God, would he? No. He didn't let it hinder him. Many people, though, they dwell on their past failures, mistakes, and sins. And so much so, that they become spiritually paralyzed. They're unable to be productive for God in that state. Paul is telling us that we can turn our past sins and failures over to God and start moving forward to what lies ahead. It's been said, our greatest glory is not in never failing, but is rising every time we fall. We have failed many times, although we may not remember the first time that we got up to try to walk, we fell. We didn't know any better. We got up and we tried to walk again. We got up. And guess what? It accomplished something for us, did it not? Probably the first time that you tried to swim, you probably almost drowned too. Probably we don't remember that, but, you know. Babe Ruth. You know, he struck out 1,330 times at bat, but he also hit 714 home runs. How about R.H. Macy? He failed seven times before his New York department store finally caught on. Seven times! We can't allow ourselves to become focused on our failures. We are all human. We make mistakes. We sin. And what's the word say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we fail. But what is worse is missing the opportunities that God puts in front of us because we are afraid to fail. Paul is the ultimate example of living each day to the fullest. Amen? In a Nike commercial, some years ago. I don't know if you remember. There was a voice came over the television, and the voice said, "I've missed more than 9,000 shots in my career. I've lost almost 300 games. 26 times I've been trusted to take the game-winning shot and missed. I have failed over and over and over again in my life. And that is why I succeeded." Those are the words spoken by MJ, Michael Jordan. By most standards, I think the greatest basketball player that ever played the game. When they called him Air Jordan, he's the only one I don't know if I just don't remember, but I could remember he'd be from the free throw line floating in the air to the basket. I mean, that was my vivid remember. I used to love to watch basketball just to watch him play the game. But he was not afraid to fail. He, if it was opportunity to put there and he missed it, he went on. When you shoot to the basket and you miss it, you'll get another try. And you take another shot. And you take another shot. And finally, it's going to go in, folks. You know, God once told the prophet Jeremiah that he would one day establish a new covenant with the children of Israel. Jeremiah chapter 31. And we're going to read verses 33 through 34. At Jeremiah 31. A reason I switch to some of the different translations is because I think it brings it a little bit more of a clarity. It does for me, and I hope it does for you. Because sometimes when you get reading the King James and these and thous and those, I get lost. And I want it to be clear to me, so I pray that it brings clarity to you. Verse 33. "This is the brand new covenant that I will make with Israel when the time comes. I will put my law within them, write it on their hearts, and be their God. And they will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They'll know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned, God's decree." That brand new covenant was established when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And since that day, forgiveness is so complete that it is forgetfulness. Praise God for that. Hebrews 8, verse 12, the voice. "I will be merciful when they fell, and I will erase their sins and wicked acts out of my memory as though they had never existed." He wipes them out as though they have never existed, folks. We've all been washed, see? We've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. God has forgotten all of our failures and all of our sins. It's what His Word says. So it's time that we forget them as well. Quit putting them above the blood of Christ. Amen. You have been made righteous through His blood. When the Father looks at you, He doesn't see your failures. He doesn't see sin. He sees His Son. See yourself and who you are in Christ Jesus. It will make a difference in your life. In fact, it'll open your eyes to seeing things you've never seen before. You'll be able to do things you've never been able to do before because you understand the power that you have been given through the blood. Because there's power in the blood. Wonder-working power in the blood. So forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Number one. Number two, focusing your priorities. In verse 14, Paul says, I press on toward the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. But he prefaced that statement by saying, but one thing I do. Now, obviously, Paul did more than one thing. He made tents, did he not? He preached sermons. He made disciples. He planted churches. He wrote books. We read them. Paul did a lot of things. But what he is telling us, his top priority in life was to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God. Verse 14 in the GW version, God's Word translation, says, I run straight, emphasize that, straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly calling offers in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's number one priority was the kingdom of God. He was running straight toward the goal, and he was not going to let anything distract him from it. Nothing. Nothing. Now, this is a story, but I think it needed a little bit of visual demonstration with it so you could see it. And it's a story about priorities. Okay? One day, an expert in time management, you hear what I said, time management, was speaking to a group of business students, and to drive home a point, he used an illustration that those students will never forget. As he stood in front of the group of the high-powered overachievers like you all, he said, okay, time for a quiz. Then he pulled out a gallon wide-mouth mason jar. I didn't have one. But anyhow, he set the jar on the table in front of him. Then he produced rocks. And he took the rocks and he carefully placed them in the container. Now, when he filled the jar with the rocks, couldn't get no more rocks in there. I don't think they're going to fit. He said, is the jar full? Everyone in the class said, yes, it's full. Then he said, really? He reached under the table. He picked up a bucket with gravel in it. And what he did, he poured the gravel in. And he shook it, and then all the little pieces seemed to fall down in there. Then he said to the group once again, is the jar full? And then someone in the group looked and said, proud. Probably not, one of them answered. Good reply. Then he reached under the table and he picked up a bucket of sand. And he poured the sand in. She already asked what was I going to do with this afterwards. I said, I'll tell, take care of it. The guys will take care of it. So he dumped the sand in a jar, and it went into all the spaces between the rocks and the gravel. Once more he asked, is the jar full? No, the class shouted. No. Once again he said, good. Then he grabbed a pitcher of water, and he began to pour it until... until the jar was filled to the top. Then he looked at the class and he asked, what is the point of this illustration? One eager student raised his hand and said, the point is, no matter how full your schedule is, if you try really hard, you can always fit some more things in. No, the speaker replied, that's not the point. The point, the truth this illustration teaches us is if you don't put the big rocks in first, you'll never get them in. If you don't put the big rocks in first, what are the big rocks in your life? As you look ahead over this year, what are your priorities? See, Matthew 6:33 says, and this is Jesus speaking, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. So drawing closer to God through worship, spending time with him in prayer, seeking his guidance for your life by reading and meditating his word, building your relationship with him, being in church. These should be the big rocks in your jar. Remember to put the big rocks in first, or you'll never get them in at all. If you sweat the little stuff, the gravel and the sand, then you'll fill your life with little things to worry about that really don't matter. And you'll never have the real quality time you need to spend on the big stuff, on the big rocks. If you are considering resolutions for the new year, here's two suggestions. One, set aside time every day to read and meditate your Bible. And pray. The more one prays, the more one receives. Got to have communication. Two, determine to be more involved in God's kingdom. By that, what I mean is attending the worship service, participating in the different fellowship activities that we have, getting involved in the outreach ministries, because there's always help needed in the outreach ministries. Simply, get involved in the church. For you are the church. We need to be together. We are the church. Amen? Well, there's just one more principle that Paul offers us for the new year, which is functioning in the present. Verse 13 again, Paul said, brothers and sisters, I know that I still have a long way to go, but there's one thing I do. One thing I do. You notice he didn't say there's one thing I will do. He didn't say there's one thing I'm going to do. Or there's one thing I'm going to do someday. No, he said, one thing I do. I was in the back not too long ago, and there was a little one in there, and then the toddlers, and we're showing him to do something. And as soon as they showed it to him, he grabbed and said, I do. I do. I do. That's what we're supposed to do. Grab a, I do. The innocence of that little child. And guess what? Because he was so intent, he said, I do. He did it. You go after it like that, you're going to realize that I just did it. I went witnessing. I got somebody born again. I did it. That's what you'll be able to say. Because it's not about you, folks. It's all about him. It's all about what he can do through you if you are a willing vessel to be used by him. You are a light that is shining out there in a dark world, folks. You got to realize it's a dark world out there. And there are so many out there that are in the dark and don't even know. Yeah, they don't know about Jesus. You would think now, at day and age, with everything that we have going on for us, that in some type of format that they would have heard about Jesus, but they haven't. So it's up to us. We need to say, I do. And then we can find out and say, I did it, Lord. I did it. And he's going to say, well done, my faithful servant. Well done. See, Paul was living and he was acting in the present. Many people try to live in the future. Do you know what the busiest day of the year is going to be? It's not the day before Christmas, and it's not Christmas. It's not the day after Thanksgiving. No. It's someday. Everyone in the world has something scheduled to do on someday. Just recently, there was a group that went to Pittsburgh, and they ministered to the homeless. And they passed out items that they would need, like hygiene items and warm clothing. And someone said to me, I would like to do that someday. And while that is such a noble desire on their part, the problem is, at someday, it's not on the calendar. You give me a calendar that says someday on it, and I'll go, okay. And then I know that's when we'll all get our somedays. So I'm sure that we've all made plans for someday. But the fact is, someday will never come. And Paul, he is the ultimate example for us for living each day to the fullest. When he was imprisoned in Rome, he didn't just didn't sit there stewing and thinking, did he, brother Danny? Mm-mm. He wasn't thinking about, well, when I get out of jail, I'm going to do this. Yeah, someday I'm going to be out of here. No, while he was in jail, he wrote letters to the churches. He sang praises to God while he was in the prison, in jail. And you know what else he did? He witnessed and he converted some of the people who had imprisoned him. Paul used every day to the uttermost. Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, where'd you? I went to left field on you just now, didn't I? Benjamin Franklin. You know what he said? And I quote, do you love life? Then do not squander time, for that is the stuff that life is made of. How about another one? Abraham Lincoln. And I quote him, the leading rule for a man of every calling is diligence. Never put off until tomorrow what you can do today. Today. You do it today. Now here's a sad example of procrastination. And it's found in our Bible. It's in Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24, verses 22 through 25. And it's about the Roman governor, Felix. This is right after he had just put in, Paul was brought to him because he was falsely accused of causing riots over at the temple in Jerusalem, and he was rescued there by the Roman, and they took him down to the governor Felix, who then put him in jail. But when Felix, verse 22, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he knew about Christ, the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will make a decision on your case. So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told them and the centurion not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. Basically, he was given carte blanche. You know, you're going to be in jail, but I'm going to let your friends come in anytime they want. Whatever you need, they'll provide you with. You're just staying here with us. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Jesus. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. He listened to Paul speak about the faith in Christ Jesus. But as he was discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment which was to come, that's when Felix became frightened, and he said, that's enough for now. You leave. When I have a convenient time, I will send for you. See, because he was feeling very guilty because of everything that he had done. And in the Bible, there's a lot of things that you read about, and you'll see why he felt the way he did. So he just put him in jail and left him there. So once he had put it off, though, and after a time, he never went back. And as with so many other things in life, the time never came for him. He never got to actually hear Paul try to bring him to a salvation message. He didn't want to hear it because he didn't think, because of his guilt. But he didn't have Paul killed. Was not him. But he had an opportunity presented to him. And he procrastinated. Procrastinated on the call. When you go to witness to someone and you can see that they're procrastinating, you just take time to pray in the Spirit to yourself. But before you even go in to make that initial visitation, you need to be prayed up. Time and time again, when you go in, prayed up. And I will say, prayed up. God working through me has never failed. That was the key that I found. You can't do it on yourself. You can do it through Him. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. He will give you the words to say. He will make sure the timing is right. And if it's even in front of a room full of people, you'll have their attention. And when you went there for one, you may come through there with a dozen. And the glory doesn't go to you. The glory goes to God. But you are the willing vessel, and He was able to use you. We need to be more like the psalmist, though, who wrote in Psalm 119, verse 60, I will hasten and not delay to obey your commands. So as we go through this new year, let us determine ahead of time that it will be a year of victory for us, a year of rejoicing in the Lord. We need to let our attitudes get adjusted from the advice that Paul gives us. And that is, resolve to forget your past. Look beyond the sins and failures of yesterday. Learn from them, repent of them, and then move forward. Move forward. And folks, forgiveness has a lot to do with that. You're forgiving others, but you know a big one is? You forgiving yourself. You forgiving yourself. If Christ can forgive, so can you. You can forgive yourself. And then you move on. Now, the devil's going to try to bring that up. He's going to bring it up to you. You're going to say, do you remember this? No, my God forgot all that. That's not me. That man's dead. And that's what you say to him. You can speak to those spirits that try to speak to you. And you can speak more boldly because you can speak the Word. And the Word works, folks. The Word works. Focus your priorities. Place God at the top of your to-do list every day. Those lists that you sit and scribble every day, first thing, and I know a lot of you do that. You write down what you're going to do for the day. Sometimes before you go to bed, you write down your list so you get up in the morning. Okay, that's what I wanted to do. I got to make him number one when you get up. You thank him. Thank him for who he is. You open up the Word. Spend a few minutes in the Word before you leave, but make sure that you set time for the day to spend time worthwhile in his Word. A committed time to reading and meditating the Word. It will change your life. Priorities. Put His kingdom first in your life, and everything else falls into place. Function in the present. Stop living in the future. Do not put off until tomorrow what you can do today. And we need to do that. We need to approach each and every day. As the Scripture says, this is the day that the Lord has made. And said, I will rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. So rejoice always. And again, I say rejoice to you. Amen. Thank you.